Hello, this is Pastor Alan Kane from the Lawrenceville Church of God. I'm glad you've chosen today to listen to the message entitled, Days of Elijah, the Days of Moses. I hope you enjoy.
Getting back into that, we took a break in the Advent season to talk about the birth of Christ. We're talking about the days of Moses this week. And what does it mean that these are the days of Moses? There's a lot of great cartoons of Moses. He's often best known for maybe parting the Red Sea. And there's just a number of cartoons on the internet. Just one of the sub that fell down when he parted the sea. The question mark on his head. But he's also probably the best thing he's known for is one up on the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments. That is, God did not use a typewriter, but he did give them the law. And as this one says, okay, but they're not going to like it, which is unfortunate. But anyway, so today we're going to talk about the days of Elijah and Moses particularly. And I remember for some assignment I had in Bible college, I made a cartoon and I drew this old wooden wagon like Moses may have had, and I put a bumper sticker on the back of it and it said, "I taught Pharaoh the dead man's flow." I thought that was kind of funny. Anyway, if you know that story anyway, it's funny. Otherwise, you're thinking, that seems kind of rude. But anyway, we're going to talk today about Moses. And what does the song mean? We started looking at, this is a song of the second coming. And we are going to have scriptures up here. This was a good idea from somebody to put the scriptures up so you can get to the next one a little easier, maybe ahead of time. But what does it mean? We started with this concept that this song is just loaded with spiritual references and language. Sometimes we just sing them and have no clue really what they're talking about. And we started by looking at the chorus because it really has to do with the second coming. Behold, he, Jesus, comes riding on the clouds. We talked about scripture says that he will come on the clouds as you saw him go, shining like the sun. Malachi 4 says he shall rise like the sun with healing in his wings. At the trumpet's call, we talked about the fact that Christ returns with the trumpet blast and the dead in Christ shall be raised. We talked about that. So lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee. We talked about the year of Jubilee, which happened how many, every so many years? 50. Who said 50? All right. 50 years. Every 50 years, they were to set everyone free. If they were in bondage to them, paying off a debt, they were to give land back. So remember, you could only buy land according to how many years it was from the Jubilee, because you basically were just renting it up until the Jubilee year and went back so that no one would ever be without property and without inheritance in the land. And so we talked about what Jubilee was. And out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. And we discussed that it's on Zion that Jesus will come, and that all will come to Zion from Mount Zion and will flow from there his righteousness and his teachings in the millennial age and the age to come. So we started unpacking that chorus a little bit. And then we talked about, in the first Sunday of Advent, we talked about the coming of Elijah and what that had to do with the coming of Christ. And these are the days of Elijah and declaring the word of the Lord. We talked about how all that connected together. And so today we're going to look at, and these are the days of his servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And so what does Moses' story have to do with our days? Because the writer of this song was pulling on some biblical language, Old and New Testament for Christians, of what it means to be in these days and to be Moses in these days of righteousness being restored. As I said, Moses is best known probably for two things, for looking a lot like Charlton Heston. No, that's not one of the two. To be known mostly for parting the Red Sea. That's the big one, and the Ten Commandments. Those two things are the main things that we often associate when we think about the story of Moses. Today I want to talk to you more about the Ten Commandments than the parting of the Red Sea. And if you have your Bibles open to Exodus, this is where we begin to find that process. And we're going to talk about the Old Testament, giving of the Ten Commandments, giving of the law. What was the result of that? When was that? And what that has to do with the New Testament, Christ and the church, and our role as Moses in these days. We won't read all of Exodus 19 and 20, but Exodus 19 finds us in the story of Moses that he is taking the people out of bondage in Egypt. He has led them out into the wilderness, and they are come to Mount Sinai, where he will receive the word from the Lord. And just let me read a few verses out of Exodus 19, if you will. In the third month, after the sons of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt. We're going to stop right there for a minute, because we're going to make this connection here a little bit later in the sermon. In the third month, when they left Egypt. Now, the Jewish calendar does not have January to December like we do. In fact, their first month is what we know as springtime. In fact, what we know as Easter, God called Passover, and that was the first feast in the first month. And so their calendar was normally about 28 days. It's a lunar calendar, and the moon goes through its phases in 28 days. And Passover starts on the 14th of the first month. And now we're in to the third month. So 14 days left in the first month, 28 days in the next gets us up to 42 days. And now we're into the third month. And it's in this third month that they come to Mount Sinai and receive the word of the Lord. It is also in this third month that they have one of their fourth feasts, which is called Pentecost, which means 50 days after Passover. And we'll talk about all that in a minute, but just notice here it says in this third month. Oh, we don't have an exact date. It does speak about that. That they have gone out of the land of Egypt. On that very day, they came into the wilderness of Sinai. When they sent out from Rephidim, they came to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness. And there Israel camped in front of the mountain. Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the sons of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you up on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my commandments, then you shall be my own possession among the peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel." So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them these words which the Lord commanded. And all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do." And Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said, "Behold, I will come to you in a thick cloud, so that the people may hear when I speak, and you may also believe in forever." Then Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. And so we find that God says, if you'll keep my commandments and obey me, you shall be my people, a separate people and a blessed people. And so he tells them in the next few verses that they need to consecrate themselves, get themselves ready to meet the Lord. And take 3 days, and he gives a boundary on the mountain. He says, do not step across this boundary. If you put a foot on the mountain, you shall surely die. Moses got to go up, Aaron got to go up, but not everyone did. He says, come out to the mountain. And so on the third day, they came out. Verse 18. Now Mount Sinai was all in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked violently. When the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him with thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, "Go down and warn the people that they do not break through to gaze, and many of them will perish. And also let the priests who come near be careful." And he goes through that process, and he warns them, and then he begins to speak to them in chapter 20. We'll get to that in just a second. But there's this huge cloud that descends on top of Mount Sinai, and it said the smoke went up like a furnace, and it was fire inside the cloud. Can you even begin to picture what that was like for the people of God? And if you were to continue to read on, he begins to speak, actually, to the people. They eventually say, we don't like that. Why don't you let him talk to you, Moses, and you tell us what he says, which is very sad. And Moses tries to plead with them. You get to hear the voice of God. And it sounded to them like this great thunder. And apparently there's trumpets playing all the time, and the blast gets louder and louder. And God is speaking in the midst of it. It just had to be an incredible scene. But there's fire, smoke, and the earth is shaking at this moment where God begins to reveal himself through word to his people. And he gives them the Ten Commandments. And just because, even though it's not the purpose of my message to teach the Ten Commandments today, Let's read through them together and remind ourselves that what these 10 suggestions are. Oh, wait. I mean, commandments are. Just make sure you're listening. Chapter 20. Let the Lord speak to you in the reading of His Word. Then God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath, in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. No other gods before me, and don't make any idols and worship them. Keep that in mind, all right? This is, people are hearing this, the rumbling from the mountain, the word speaking. No idols, nothing of heaven, on earth, or under the sea. Don't make anything that looks like any of that stuff. Those are all creations of mine. Don't worship the creation, worship the creator. That's what he's saying. Verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. I would challenge this generation, particularly of young people and some adults, be careful how you use the name God. Even though the God is his title and not necessarily his name, it is in that Yahweh Elohim, the Lord our God. He says, do not take my name in vain. He says, I will not leave him unpunished who takes my name in vain. We use God as an explanation point sometimes. We use it for an expression. I challenge you, according to the word of the Lord, do not do that. He says, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your sons or your daughters, your male or your female servant, or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land that your Lord your God gives you. I just laugh because my dad always used that. You want to live long? Honor me, because I'll make another one look just like you and get rid of you. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord gives you. Now, the first commandments are our relationship to him. This one is the transitional one of how we deal with each other. The first one's how we deal with him. And now how we deal with our parents and also how that affects him. And he makes a transition then in how we deal with each other. Verse 13, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servants or his female servants or his ox or his donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Doesn't say garage, so I can covet my neighbor's garage or their shop. That's not in that list. You know you've changed in life when you're coveting your neighbor's garage. And anyway, we digress. He says, just don't desire what other people have. Just walk with the Lord in whatever situation you have is what he's talking about. And of course, the other commandments are self-explanatory. Just remind you of this. This is what God was speaking to the people through Moses. And Moses, it says, Moses, the days of Moses, of righteousness being restored. The people of God have been in bondage now for 400 to 500 years. They've had this situation where they were the people of God, but they kind of lost, I think, the sense of that. And the word of the Lord finally comes. It becomes the first time in written form on the commandments. And eventually they would write down all these laws that God will give them. But righteousness is being restored to the people as the word of God is coming to their ears through Moses and through him and through the written word. Righteousness was coming back when the law was being given. Verse 18, and all the people perceived thunder and lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. Then they said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen. But let not God speak to us, or we will die. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, for God has come in order to test you, in order that you may fear him and remain with you, so that you may not sin. I hope you're not that language today, that you do not want God excuse me, to speak to you today. Here we have this most important moment in Moses' ministry of the Word of God finally coming back to the people, and for the first time would be in written form. And so we find Moses doing this, the righteousness restoring it to his people. We also find in Moses there is this prophecy. If you go forward a few books to Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 18. The people of God, I know this will be a shock to you, but the Jews had a problem listening. I know your children don't have a problem listening, and neither did God's. But they had a problem listening. They had a problem listening to God, as we just read. They also had a problem listening to Moses. They had a lot of problems. And so do we. And so in this situation, we find in Deuteronomy that Moses is talking to them, and through God, he gets this prophecy to them. And look at what it says in Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 19. Moses says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your countrymen. You shall listen to him. This is a prophecy of Jesus Christ. This is according to all that you asked the Lord your God in Horeb on the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God. Let me not see this great fire any more, or I will die. The Lord said to me, they have spoken well. I will raise up for a prophet from among them, their countrymen like you. I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. It shall come about that whoever will not listen to my words, which he will speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. Here we have a prophecy of Jesus coming. He says, he will raise up a prophet like me from among the brethren here. And I will put my words in his mouth, and they will listen to him. And if they do not listen to him, I will require it of them. And so we see this type of Moses that would come through Christ. And Christ would come and be the word of God to us again. John 1 talks about that. That God's word, his plan, his what he wants to speak to his people became flesh. And Jesus speaks that to us. He says, what you see me, you see the Father. What the Father says, I say to you. And this word is coming through him just like Moses. And then Christ says something also of us, that we are now, as he is in the Father, so he is in us, and we are him to the world. That we are to carry on what Moses tried to do by bringing the word of God. Christ brought it, and now we are to carry that on. And so a little background of how that process took place, and we won't probably turn to this particular verse, but if you want to read it later, Leviticus 23 talks about the Feast of Pentecost, which was 50 days after Passover. During those 50 days, some of you may have heard modern day the 50-day spiritual adventure. Have any of you heard of that? 50-day spiritual adventure. It's based on Pentecost. 50 days from the Sabbath after Passover to the next feast was Pentecost. Penta from 5 meaning 50. 50 days. Just like White House. A really clever name. And Pentecost, 50 days. That's what this feast is, or the Feast of Weeks. And it's interesting, and because of time, I'm just going to tell you real quickly. One of the things they would do on Pentecost that was different than Passover. On Passover, they made bread that was unleavened, right? Just like the compass, an unleavened compass that has no yeast, right? And so, that's Jake's joke. Unleavened bread, no yeast, which was a symbol of sinlessness. Yeast is always a symbol of sin. And on Passover, they would make unleavened bread, a symbol of being forgiven. On Pentecost, though, this was the spring celebration of the first harvest. On this one, they would bring the first fruits in of the flour and the grain, and they would make two loaves of bread that had yeast in them. And they would wave them before the Lord. And they would also sacrifice some lambs and some other things. And they would wave them before the Lord. But they wouldn't put them on the altar because they were yeast in them. It was a symbol of sin. But they were to be given to the priest, and there was their food for them. But they're two loaves of bread, and they have yeast in them. This was the Feast of Pentecost. All, as far as I can tell, all Jewish Orthodox Christian, Orthodox Jewish people, when they celebrate Pentecost, they celebrate the giving of the Word of God to Moses on Mount Sinai. That they believe that is the same time that the part of that Feast of Pentecost is to celebrate the Ten Commandments given to Moses. That it was at that same time. So every time a Jewish person celebrates Pentecost, they celebrate the receiving of the Word of God. And we find that Leviticus 23, where it talks about Pentecost. Now, what I would like you to do is go back to Exodus for just a moment, to chapter 32. Getting a little education this morning, a little flipping around here. Exodus 32, the results of the Ten Commandments, which is kind of sad, but it has a poignant moment here in a second. You remember the second commandment? Don't make any images. None at all. Gold or silver, don't use anything. Make it look like anything in heaven or on earth or in the water. Nothing. Moses goes up to get the Ten Commandments. God is writing them with his finger in the stone as he speaks it to him. Moses comes down the mountain because God sends him. And he says, my people, your people, that's probably what he says, your people, they've already messed up. And Moses comes down. And in Exodus 32, they get down there and we find that because Moses has gone a whole 40 days, they think he's dead. That he didn't survive the fire and the smoke up on the mountain. God's killed him and our leader's dead. So what we need is a cow. We need a calf. We need a calf made out of gold. That will save us. I don't know how they got there, but that's what they did. They bring all their earrings and their gold, and they melt it down and shape it into a calf, and they all start worshiping the cow they just made. I like cow, but particularly between a bun. That's the way I like it. I don't worship it. But they make this calf. Aaron, the priest, does this. He lost his way. Moses comes down and he's furious because God's furious, and God tells Moses, I'm going to smoke them all. All of them, crispy critters. It's all done. I'm going to start with you, and we're just going to start all over, make a whole new nation from you. Moses pleads with God. God changes his mind, decides not to crispy critter them all. But he sends him down. He gets there, and Moses is furious because God is furious. They've lost their way. In verse 28, we find the net result. We don't have time to read the whole story. Verse 25. But Moses saw the people were out of control, for Aaron had let them get out of control to be a derision among their enemies. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, whoever is for the Lord, come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered together to him. And he said, and thus says the Lord God of Israel, every man of you put his sword on his thigh, and go back and forth the gate in the camp and kill every man his brother and every man his friend and every man his neighbor. So the sons of Levi did as Moses instructed. And here's the phrase, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. And Moses said, dedicate yourselves to the Lord your God, for every man had been against his son and everyone against his brother, in order that he may bestow a blessing on us today. What this means was that those who would not come to Moses, the leaders of their families, that would not come and stand on the side of God and reject what they did about the calf, these sons of Levi went and killed them. And it says about 3,000 died that day. This is the first Pentecost, the first receiving of the law. And this law brought death. The law was, number two, law, don't have any graven images. That's exactly what they did. And once the law was set, there's now sin, and now the sin, there's punishment. And 3,000 fall that day as a result of the first Pentecost. Go with me thousands of years later to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Fourth book in the New Testament. Thousands of years later, Jesus has already lived, preached, died, resurrected. He's gone. Back to the Father. 40 days he was here, right? 40 days after his death. Pentecost is 50 days after Passover. Jesus has been here 40 days, actually maybe 42, 43, depending on what day he was actually crucified on, because it's the first Sabbath, the first day after the Sabbath, after Passover, 50 days. We won't get technical anyway. He's been here about 40. Pentecost is 50 days later. So we got 10 days, maybe a week, from the time Jesus goes to the Father and the disciples are sitting and waiting. And Jesus told them, sit and wait. Wait until you receive power from on high. So Jesus was crucified on Passover, buried on first fruits, buried on leavened bread, raised on first fruits. God was using each of these feasts to accomplish something in the life of the church. So Pentecost maybe wasn't going to be any different. Remember the first Pentecost was fire, earth-shaking, God speaking to his people, righteousness being restored, and 3,000 died. Acts chapter 2, Pentecost has come, but this time it's coming after Christ. And we find in Acts chapter 2 that when the day, in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together, and they were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them in his own language. And it goes on to list the different nationalities were there. And then in verse 14, Peter starts to preach after everyone has heard this amazing event. And then we find in Acts chapter 2, at the end of his sermon, verse 41, let's just start at verse 37. Peter just got done preaching after tongues of fire come down and touched the disciples. Now, before we read this, I guess, we need to picture the scene. The Jews have probably just got done with their Pentecost celebration, where they would remember the giving of the word. They would had Ezekiel, a passage that often was read when it talks about the fire coming and the strong and mighty wind that Ezekiel talks about. They would often read that passage. So they just remember the giving of the word of God to Moses on the mountain. They just done with that service. That's why all these people are in Jerusalem, particularly at the temple. This is one of the feasts, by the way, that every male, firstborn male, was supposed to come to Jerusalem for this feast. So there's a lot of people there. And they just talked about Ezekiel and the fire and the wind and all these things, and remembering God on Mount Sinai with Moses. And all of a sudden, it starts to shake again, a violent wind, and then this fire again. All these things that they've all been aware of before in the past, and these fire, like tongues of fire, come down on each of the 12 disciples, and they begin to speak. And everyone begins to hear in their own language. And the sound of the noise and the wind and the fire brings everybody in. And they all come, not to the mountain this time, at the base, but they come to the temple, outside the temple, and they hear these words of Peter, and he preaches righteousness being restored again, but not through the letter of the law, but through the grace of God through Jesus Christ. And he speaks to them about who Jesus was. In verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent, each of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which they just received. For the promises to you and to your children, for all who are far off, as many as the Lord God will call himself. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So then those who had received his word were baptized. Here it comes. And that day, there were added about 3,000 souls. Notice the phrasing is very similar. And back when the word of God came the first time, it says, on that day, on that very day, When they got in the wilderness, God spoke to them from the mountain of Pentecost. And it says, on that day, 3,000 were saved. It says about 3,000. What did it say in Exodus 32? About 3,000 died. The difference between these two Pentecosts, 3,000 die, 3,000 are saved. And the difference is the law kills and the Spirit gives life. In fact, the Scripture says that. It talks about that. It says the law kills, the letter of the law kills, but the Spirit, it gives life. We're going to look at that in just a second. And so these two Pentecosts were so vastly different. The death occurred when the law came, because when the law comes, there's sin, and sin brings death. But this time, grace was coming. In the same fire and smoke, and the Word of God coming to His people, but this time 3,000 were saved as a result. It's a beautiful a comparison between these two events and how very similar they are. Now, I reminded you that they were to take two loaves of bread and weigh them before the Lord on Pentecost. Two leavened loaves, two sinful loaves. And on this day, on this Pentecost, they weren't waved actual loaves of bread, but I can't help but wonder if those two loaves didn't represent the Jew and the Gentile. The sinful men who came as a harvest to the Lord on that day of about 3,000. And those 3,000 were weighed before the Lord on that Pentecost as the church was born on that very day. So what did the days of Moses, the days of righteousness being restored, mean to us? In the song, what does it mean in our life? Moses restored righteousness to God's people by bringing the Word back into their lives after many years in captivity. So we are to bring the Word of God, the Word of righteousness, back to this generation and set them free from the slavery of sin. I want you to look at one final passage with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 speaks so much to this comparison between the two Pentecosts, the two moments, the Moses of then and the Moses that we are to be today. Chapter 3, verse 1. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need some letters of commendation to you from you? For you are a letter written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink or into stone, not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Paul sees this connection that we're talking about between Moses and Pentecost and the Christ and Pentecost. So at this time, the letters and the words that are spoken are not written in stone, cold, and hard, but they are written on the tablet of the human heart. And that Paul, in this moment, was being Moses to his generation. That you and I are to be Moses to our generation. Verse 4. Such confidence we have through Christ toward God, not that we are adequate in ourselves, to consider anything coming from ourselves, but our adequacy as servants of the new covenant. And that's exactly what happened on the first Pentecost. Pentecost was a covenant. Not of the letter of the Spirit, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life, contrasting these two Pentecosts. And here's what our ministry is, verse 7. But if the ministry of death, meaning what happened on the Mount Sinai, but if the ministry of death in letters engraved on stone came with glory, in other words, this had positive things even though they died, so that the sons of Israel could not look intently on the face of Moses because of the glory of his face, fading as it was, how will the ministry of the Spirit fail to be even more with glory? If you remember the story of Moses, we didn't talk about it today, but when he came down from the mountain, he was literally glowing. They call it the Shekinah glory of God. He would have come down from the mountain, and Charlton Heston came back with gray hair. That's what he did, if you remember that. But in the Scriptures, actually said he was glowing with the glory of God. And the people realized that he had seen God and he was in the presence of God. And so there was glory involved with the giving of the Word, even though death was a result of it immediately. But then that glory started to fade, and Moses would actually wear a veil to hide the fact that it was fading. I think it broke his heart that it was fading. That he knew this wasn't enough, just the Word. And that's what he talks about here. And he says, if the first word, the first Pentecost, came with glory, even though it brought death and stone, how much more will our ministry of the Spirit bring glory? Verse 9. For if the ministry of condemnation has glory, the first one, Much more does the ministry of righteousness abound in glory. For indeed, what had glory in the case has no glory because of the glory of the new covenant that surpasses it. For if that which fades away was with glory, much more that which remains in it is glory. Paul goes on to talk about the hope that we have and the ministry that we have, that we need to be about the work of righteousness in our generation. So what do we do as a result today? We need to speak boldly about the righteousness or the rightness of God to a world in darkness, not being ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Like Moses, we need to bring the word of God without compromise and not be ashamed. Secondly, we can lead people out of bondage to freedom that Moses talked about and Paul talks about. Later in 2 Corinthians 3, he says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom we can bring to people. This is our ministry, and we are to be bold in that ministry. I think that's what the songwriter was talking about when he wrote those words in this song. These are the days of Moses, righteousness being restored, and famine and darkness. We need to be the people bringing that freedom. My question to you today is, which Pentecost do you want? You must choose one. One brings death. One brings life. I love the passage of Scripture in Hebrews 10. I'm just going to read it for you, verse 16 and 17. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord God. I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And wrote on this concept of Pentecost these words, on this Pentecost, meaning the new one, all the spring feasts culminated in a new covenant era when the Spirit of God would begin establishing a new kingdom on earth, not by overthrowing governments or armies, but through the humble submission of individual hearts, one at a time, over hundreds and hundreds of years, one by one they would come. Not by might nor by my power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. One by one is how God is collecting his kingdom citizens today. One by one we must be born again. Jesus said, unless one is born anew, they cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3. My question to you is, are you one of those ones? Jesus is calling us to become one at a time, born again into his kingdom. When he got done preaching and the people were convinced in their heart that these things were true, ask him, what do we do? What do we do? And Peter says, you must repent, turn away from what is wrong, and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins.
You've been listening to Days of Elijah, Days of Moses, the ministry of the Lawrenceville Church of God, Springfield, Ohio.